saying of Jesus this morning, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you've been with us over these recent weeks, we've been reading through John's Gospel, and we've been learning about Jesus' life, the things that he taught, the things that he did. And we've learned a lot about life. Jesus has had some really significant things to say. It'll be helpful to remember those as we get started here this morning. One of the things that Jesus has said about himself is that he has life in himself. In other words, Jesus is somebody whose life never runs out. He has perfect and full and unending life. That's who he is. He doesn't just say, I have life, but I am life. It's a big saying of Jesus that is going to be helpful to have in mind for us this morning. Maybe the best way to get our heads around it is to think how different that is from us. And let's put it this way. We have life in us the same way that a car has petrol in it. You might start with a full tank. We have a certain amount of life in us, but that life slowly runs down, doesn't it? Our lives run down, our lives are spent. From childhood on into our old age, that needle only goes one way. But Jesus is not like that. He has perfect full life in himself. Jesus is not even like a petrol station. And we might think about Jesus a bit like that. Those were the days, weren't they? 89 pence a litre. It's an old photograph, children. Well, you might think about Jesus that way. You might think, okay, we're cars, we've got a little tank, maybe he's just got more of it. But it's not like that at all. In fact, he's not even like the big oil wells where we get our fuel from, because even they eventually run dry. But Jesus has life in himself, and it never runs out. Jesus has life in himself. That's something that he's taught us already as we've been reading John's Gospel. He has never-ending life, overflowing life. And then one other thing that he's been telling us about, and that is his power over death. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus says, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Jesus says he has the power over death. That's what we're going to think more about this morning as we hear this new saying of Jesus that he is the resurrection and the life. The thought that he is able to give life to us because he has unending, unquenchable life in himself. And the thought that he can rescue us from the grave. Now, I don't know how much you've heard about Jesus, how much you've thought about these things. I don't want anyone here to miss what an extraordinary claim this is. That he is no other man, that he is nothing like us, who have short lives that are spent and gone. But he is one who has life in himself and has power over death to be able to raise us from the dead. Not every one of us this morning is going to find that very easy to believe, but I bet here that everyone would love it to be true. To know that there is somebody who is so full of life that our lives need not just run down till empty. To know that there is somebody who can fill us with life and save us from death. And the great news is that this morning we get to look at a true story. A story where Jesus demonstrates his power to do that. He shows that he is the resurrection and the life. So that we can know that these things are actually possible. That we can have that sort of life. That we can be saved from the grave. So we're going to hear that story read to us now. We're going to hear from John chapter 11 as Jesus performs a sign to show us that he can rescue us from the grave. Laura is going to come and bring our reading. John chapter 11.
John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" But Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, "the sister," "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, and his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
All right, well, do join me at the start of chapter 11, where we pick up this story, this great sign that Jesus performs of his power. It is a family story, isn't it? Verse 1 there, we meet Lazarus and Martha and Mary, his two sisters. We learn a couple of things about Lazarus really early on. Verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was ill. He is ill. Verse 3, listen out, what's the next thing that we learn about him? So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." Two things we need to know about Lazarus then. He's ill, and Jesus loves him. He is a friend of Jesus. So Jesus hears of this. Let's go down to verse 5, where Jesus hears this news, and where we hear something very strange. Listen carefully. When you've spotted something strange, pop your hand up and see if you can tell me what that strange thing is. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for two more days. Lots of hands. Let's see down here. Keziah, what have you got? Fantastic. That is not what you'd expect, was it? Even though he loved him, he stayed where he was two more days. You'd expect it to go. He heard that his friend was ill, and so he rushed there straight away. Got the lights on, the flashing, the sirens. He got there as fast as he could. But no, we're told the one that Jesus loves, he hears that he's ill, and he waits for two more days. Why would Jesus do that? Well, one answer, I think, is that he loves this family, and he wants to show them, and he wants to show us that he has power even over death. And so he will wait until his friend has died to go. Something that we've seen building through John's Gospel. Jesus has done lots of healings. It might be helpful to remember some of those. So in John chapter 4, a boy is seriously ill with a fever, and Jesus heals him. In verse 5, we meet a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus heals him immediately. In John chapter 9, we meet a man born blind. Can you see how these things are getting worse? More and more serious. How long these things have lasted, what effect they've had on somebody's life. And now last here in John 11, we see Jesus healing even a dead man. Jesus has been building to this to show his power even over death. These miracles revealing more and more of his power. And so Jesus waits. And by verse 11, it seems that Lazarus has died. Verse 11, after he'd said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." Not surprisingly, that confuses Jesus' disciples. What do you mean he's fallen asleep? If he's fallen asleep, he's going to be fine. People wake up from that. They're thinking, if he's only asleep, surely he's going to be fine. But Jesus is talking about his death. Lazarus has died. So verse 14, he says to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Why speak that way? Why speak about him being asleep before telling them the honest truth? Is he just trying to break it to them gently? He's asleep? No, actually, he's died. No, I think his point is that it's going to be as easy for him to raise Lazarus as it would be to wake somebody from sleep. Have you ever had that job, waking somebody from sleep? Sometimes that can be pretty tough, can't it? Especially if you've had one less hour's sleep than normal. But Jesus says it is easy for him. His voice has such power that he can raise people from the dead as easily as saying, "Wake up." So he sets out on that long journey back to where Lazarus
is lying. He gets there, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been buried for 4 days, and everyone is grieving. As we heard it in the story, the sisters, there's a whole crowd of Jews who are there grieving for Lazarus. And as Jesus gets to that scene, he himself weeps to grieve over his friend. It's an amazing thing. In fact, we're going to come back next week to think about this passage a little bit more, to think about Jesus' grief and distress and what that means for us. But today, let's just notice this. Jesus loves his friend. His friend was sick. His friend has now died. But Jesus loves his friend, and he loves Mary and Martha. And so he comes alongside them. He draws near in this moment of grief. He's not untouched by that. Shows that what we learned about Lazarus was true. What did we learn? He was sick and... Okay, that's coming. That's coming. What did we learn at the start of the story, if you remember? He's sick and Jesus loves him. Well, now he's died, but Jesus still loves him. And what we're about to see is that love is even stronger than death. Verse 39, here is Jesus now at the graveside. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he'd said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Verse 44, the dead man came out. Just think about that for a moment. That doesn't make sense, does it? Dead men don't come out. It's like John's mind hasn't quite caught up with this. He knows that Lazarus is dead. So we're going to call him the dead man, even though the dead man is now walking. What can that mean? The dead man is now alive. He's alive. Jesus has come to the graveside of his friend, and he has brought him out of the grave. What do we learn about Jesus here? Well, simply this, that Jesus gives life to his friends. Jesus gives life to his friends. I don't know what the best gift is that you've ever had from a friend, but there is nothing that can match this. Jesus loves Lazarus. And the amazing news is that it's not just Lazarus who he loves in this way. When we're told about this one that Jesus loves, when we're told about a friend that he lays down his life for, those are ways that we can think about ourselves too if we follow Jesus, to know that he can do that for us. Just have a look back there to that great statement in verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Anyone who believes in Jesus can have that kind of gift, can live, because Jesus gives life to his friends. Makes Jesus an amazing kind of friend. We're going to sing about him just now, a song that helps us remember how good a friend Jesus is. He gives life to his friends. He is strong. He is kind. We can trust him. We're going to pause for a moment, enjoy those things, and sing together, Jesus, strong and kind. If you're able, as the music starts, let's stand and sing. Please do take a seat. All right, the story in John 11 so far, we have seen that Jesus gives life to his friend Lazarus, the most amazing power that can call him out of the grave, a power that he can work for us as well, for those who are his friends. Jesus gives life to his friends. The other big lesson from this passage, though, is how that happens. How is it that we can have life? It's going to answer it like this, that Jesus gives life to his friends by giving his life for his friends. Here is the pattern of this chapter. One way of telling the story is there, to see Jesus' friends moving towards life. That's the story for Lazarus, isn't it? He's ill, he dies, and his movement through the chapter is that he is moving towards life. But we're also going to see Jesus moving towards his death in this chapter. Jesus moves towards his death. There are a few different clues to tell us that that is on the horizon. And first of all, there's the mention right at the start of the chapter that Jesus was anointed by Mary. You might be thinking to yourselves, I don't remember that story. Well, it hasn't happened in John yet. It's going to happen in the next chapter. When it does happen, you're going to be told that Mary anoints Jesus, and she does that to prepare him for burial. He is on the way to his death, and she is preparing him for that. That little mention of the anointing is a way of reminding us Jesus' death is coming. As well, all of that talk of Jesus going to where Lazarus lives being a dangerous place to go. Jesus says, let's go back to Judea. And his disciples say in verse 8, but Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. It was at the end of chapter 10 that the Jews picked up stones to stone Jesus. This is a dangerous place for Jesus to go. If he's going to go to his friend Lazarus, it is to go to a place where his life is in danger. In going to raise Lazarus, Jesus is moving towards his death. And it's something that becomes much clearer at the end of the chapter. If you've got a Bible there, do look at verse 45. Jesus has raised Lazarus. The Jews are aware of it, and they are trying to work out what now to do. I'm going to read to us from verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. That's their kind of council. They meet together and they ask, what are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. They feel stuck. There's no denying they were there, and they can't disprove any of these things. Jesus did them in the sight of witnesses. They can't disprove that, but they don't know what to do, because if they leave him alone, everyone is going to flock to him, as if you can stop it. So they think, we need to do something. This is going to end badly for us. And then verse 49, then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. Caiaphas has an idea. The Romans aren't going to come and take away us because we kill him. We kill him. We take away his life and everyone else will be saved. Everyone knew in John 11 that that could happen. His disciples know that Judea is a dangerous place to go. Jesus knows that it is a dangerous place to go. But he goes because he loves his friend, and it leads to his death. This plot is hatched to kill Jesus. He will go and he will die so that his friend will live. But he won't just do it for one friend. Caiaphas, he doesn't realize it, but actually he's talking about how Jesus will save everyone. And verse 51, Caiaphas did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. It wasn't really in his mind. He was thinking, we just need to get rid of him and then everything will go back to normal. But he speaks better than he knows. And he actually speaks about how Jesus is going to rescue all of his people. One man will die and save everybody, all of God's people. It's the story we've been remembering this Easter weekend, how Jesus on Good Friday goes to the cross, dies in our place, bearing the punishment for our sins. And when he is raised from the dead, as we celebrate this morning, we can know that it is finished, that our sins have been dealt with, that we can be saved through him. And so this chapter, it's not about two different stories, Lazarus going towards life, Jesus going towards his death. But actually we learn to see those two stories fitting together. How is it that Lazarus has life? Because Jesus goes to his death for his friend. How is it that any of us can have life? Only by Jesus going. That is the whole point. There's one picture here that might help us take that to heart a bit more and see it afresh. John is very careful in the way that he uses some words, and one of the words that he uses very carefully is this idea of being bound or tied. In John's gospel, he just uses it in a couple of ways. He talks about Lazarus, who has been bound with those linen cloths. He's been wrapped up having died. And so he's bound tight. The only other place that John is going to use that sort of language is that when it comes to Jesus' arrest, Jesus' hands are going to be bound. I think it's helpful to picture in your mind somehow the connection between those two things. It is only because Jesus is bound, because his hands are tied and he's led to the cross, that Lazarus can be unbound, that those grave clothes can come off him, that he can raise to new life. So just see in your mind's eye the cords, the binds going around Jesus' wrists and somehow undoing Lazarus already, rescuing him from the grave. Jesus goes to his death to rescue us from our sins. Now, there's one more question that we're going to ask this morning, and that's, what does it actually mean to have life? We've said that Jesus has come to give us life. That's what he gives to his friends. We'll think about that in a moment. But first of all, let's sing. Let's sing of how Jesus died to take away our sins, how he gives life to his friends by giving his life for his friends. This song is going to be signed in Makaton. If the volunteers want to come and help with that, that would be great. We'll sing Jesus, Jesus is alive. Wonderful. Okay, what have we seen so far? We have thought about how in John chapter 11, Jesus gives life to his friends by giving his life for his friends. Well, in these last few minutes, I want to ask, what then does it mean to have life? What does it mean to have life? What is it that Jesus has given to us? And we're going to come back to that great saying of Jesus in this chapter to try and understand that. It's verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. We can get those words up on the screen because I think there's something slightly strange here when you think about it. Another surprising thing. Let's just underline a few words to give you some help with that, and then let's see if we can spot what's the strange thing about what Jesus says here. You see the puzzle? Strange, isn't it? Jesus says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever believes in me will never die. Well, which one is it? Is it that we're not going to die, or that we will die and then we'll live again? It's a bit of a puzzle. Jesus isn't a bit confused. He doesn't get his words muddled like I sometimes do. He's laid out a bit of a puzzle. He wants us to think it through. He wants us to think, how are both halves of that true? Well, here's the answer, I think. The first thing that Jesus is saying here is that he can give us life after death. He is the resurrection. And so when we believe in him, even though we die, we will live. We will be raised from the dead. It is incredible news to think that our lives don't just run down to empty. Or to switch the picture for a moment, imagine I'm boarding a train. You know how it normally goes? You get on a train and you either read the description or you get an announcement. This is the 10:45 calling at Reading, Slough, terminating at London, Paddington. It's the sort of announcement that you get. Lots of people imagine their lives going something like that as well, an announcement. This train calls at nursery, school, work, retirement, terminates in death. That's the terminus. That's where we go. But for Christians, we need to realize that death is just one of those stops on the way. We're not saved from it. There's no detour, but our journey doesn't end there either. We will have to go through it, but the journey doesn't stop there. It's true for Lazarus. What does Jesus say about Lazarus at the start of this chapter? This illness does not end in death. It will go through death, but it won't end in death. True for us as well. The life that Jesus gives, as he shows here, He is powerful enough even to raise us from the grave. So he gives us life after death. But he also gives us life now. And that's what Jesus is saying in the second part of that. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. If you believe in Jesus, you already have life. You live by believing in him, and that life is never going to be taken away from you. So what Jesus was talking about back in chapter 5 again. Jesus says there, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." It means that when we believe in Jesus, we are already made new. We're given new life. God puts his spirit in our hearts and we are born again. And so Lazarus becomes for us a picture of what it means to become a Christian in this life too. Jesus calls each one of us out to new life in this world. He says to each one of us, come out from the grave. Leave your selfishness and your greed and your anger behind. Leave your guilt and your shame. Come out of the darkness and into the light. Put away that fear of death and come and receive life. That's what it means to become a Christian. Not about behaving ourselves or doing enough good deeds to please God, but knowing that quite miraculously we have already been summoned out of death to life. We have heard the voice of Jesus, and it has brought us new life already. Now, maybe some of us this morning are hearing that voice for the first time, are starting to realize, maybe I can trust this. Maybe this voice of Jesus really is that powerful. Well, we would love to talk to you more to help you understand what it all means. It might be that you've heard that voice many years ago. I hope it's been helpful this Easter Sunday to come to the graveside of Lazarus again and to remember these beautiful things. Jesus loves his friends, and his love for his friends is powerful enough to conquer the grave, that we are safe with him and death holds no fear for us. I love to think of Lazarus living the rest of his life. What do you imagine that was like? I imagine that was a remarkable life, to be able to look back and to know Jesus loves me. Jesus was willing to come to my graveside knowing that it would take him to his death, but he loves me utterly. And he has called me out of the grave already. And so my future is so safe, so certain, so free from fear and anxiety. It's a beautiful picture of how Christians can live, knowing that we've been called out already. We've been made alive already. And our future holds no fear for us because death has been defeated, because Jesus has been raised, and us with him. Let's have a moment's pause, just to reflect for a moment, and then we're going to rejoice in these things using some words that will come up on the screen, but a moment just to pause and reflect.